Thank you. Morning. God is good. And all the time. Welcome to church. How's everybody doing this morning? I want to open up with prayer. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that I have another opportunity to come before this amazing church, Lord God, and speak of your word, Lord. I pray that I share and speak, Lord God, that these are your words and not of mine, and that the Holy Spirit completely takes over this room, Lord. And I just pray that every single person that walks out that door, Lord, that they feel blessed and took out something from this message. Amen. First off, I want to apologize. The writing was not supposed to be that small. So, I'm not speaking about Christmas. Sorry. I'm mostly speaking about the book of Job. Mostly concentrated on chapter 1 and 2. So, you can open your books to Job chapter 1. Because that is really small. In the land of Uz, there lived a man that was named Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had several sons and three daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 5,000 oxen, and 500 donkeys. And they had a large number of servants. He was a great man among all of the people of the East. I wish I had that many stuff, but unfortunately it doesn't work that way. The first attack of Satan. One day an angel came to the presence themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered to the Lord, "From the roaming through the earth, going back and forth on it." And then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless, upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed and the work of his hand so that his flock and herds are spreaded through the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, as he is surely cursed due to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well, then everything he has is in your power. But on the man himself, do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The ox were plowing and the donkeys are grazing nearby. And Sabana attacks and made off with them. They put the servant to the sword and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants. I am the only one to escape to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The challenges formed three raiding parties and swept down all your camels and made off with them. They put the servant to the sword. I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept and from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they died. I'm the only one who has escaped to tell them. Manny can't get a break. So that was the first attack of Satan. Obviously, you can clearly see that Job was not physically attacked for the first attack. Everybody that was attacked was somebody related to him or something he had. As for when clearly stated in Job 1:12, the Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your power, but the one man himself do not lay a finger." One thing I found really interesting when I went to Bible college and when I realized when my teacher was explaining about Job and how Satan went to God, asked permission to be able to lay a finger on Job. God allowed Satan to attack him, but not himself personally. God allowed him. Satan can't do anything unless God allows him to do so. And then Job tore his clothes and shaved his head and got down and on the ground and started to worship. So the first attack, Job went ahead and he just started to worship God, even though he just lost everything. His children, his flock, everything, all gone. How many of you would think that you would get down on your knees and still worship, even though you just got attacked by Satan and everything was taken away from you? The second attack of Satan. Then Job 2:3-10. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. He is still maintains his integrity through your incidents, me against him, to ruin him without any reason." "Skin of skin," Satan replied. "A man will give all he has for his own life. But now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well. Then he is in your hands, but you must spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scratched himself with it, and he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, You're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" Second attack was physically on Job, but God told him, "You can't kill him though." If Satan was so big and so great, he could have just killed him, but he's not, because he is under God. It's like a dog on a leash. You know, I find that saying really interesting, because a dog on a leash. That's quite interesting, considering that some people are afraid of dogs, some people aren't. To some people, dogs are cute and small, but yet they can still do something, right? They're still an animal. Some people are blinded to certain things and realize that, oh, well, there's no God or things like that, and Satan's fine, I'm good with it. But in reality is that he is a dog. He's a dog on a leash. God only allows him to go so far. He can only go so far. But then certain people will look at it and question, then if Satan's a dog on a leash, then why God allows him to even have a little bit of a leash? God uses everything. And throughout Job, it never stated why. Job never understood why he was attacked. Because he was blameless and he didn't do anything. He was the righteous man on earth. But he was lost everything. And then there's his friends that come along who were tear his clothes apart with them and sat there and then started thinking and stating all these things that sins that Job may have done to be able to be punished. And then finally Job stood up and said no and made them realize that this wasn't a punishment of God. However you want to see it, it wasn't that. He didn't do all the sins that his friends were falsely accusing him of. And God revealed to Job that exactly. That just because we're being attacked or something goes wrong doesn't mean we're being punished for something that we did or didn't do. Now you can see this story as Job being tested. Or you can see this story as it's not about Job at all. You see, Satan came up to God and didn't necessarily challenge Job. It was mostly challenging God, I guess you could say. He brought it up to God to challenge, to see whether or not if Job was going to turn around and curse God. We're all human. We can all agree we're not perfect. I'm definitely not. We need to stop looking at everything that goes on in our life that is so bad and think, I might have done something wrong. I'm being tested. It can be either way. It could be we're not being tested at all. It's just something's going bad. A lot of people, when things go bad, they turn around and they curse God and they say, why am I going through this? Why? Just why? God is bigger and he doesn't need to answer you. All you need to do is trust in him. The why doesn't matter. He lost everything. Absolutely everything. Who could sit here today and look at me and tell me, I lost all my flock, all my children, I am full of disease, and my wife is telling me to curse God and die? Just because the story is super extreme and everything is going wrong and we lose everything doesn't mean we can't associate ourselves with Job. I'm going to tell you right now, after reading week, I associated myself with Job. When we're all in a moment for a long period of time where mostly everything goes wrong, completely goes wrong, and then when something finally looks, oh, this problem's done with, all of a sudden there's another problem. Just because Job lost everything doesn't mean that we need to look at ourselves and be like, oh, well, I'm going through this. Too bad. We need to turn to God and trust in him that no matter what we go through, the good and the bad, we still follow him. We still trust him. We still seek him. Instead of wasting our time and looking at each other, looking at ourselves and praying and being angry at God and stating, why am I going through this? Just trust in him. Because who knows? During or after, you might look back and see, oh, I know exactly where God was. I know exactly where God was. Oh, he was at work when I was going through that. He was there with me. I could see where God was in Job. The first attack, nothing happened to Job. That's God. The second attack, Job didn't die. That's God. Definitely this semester that I realized and that I seen where God was that through everything, He is there. He will carry you through everything. And when I mean this semester after reading week, it was tough. It was rough. Satan wasn't happy that I was there. He really wasn't. That's okay. He can be mad at all he wants. I'm going to do what God wants me to do, no matter what happens. Whether it's losing something, financial need, fear, anxiety, persecution, or anything like that, God's there. There's a saying that my dad used to say at Firehouse was that there's two people walking on a beach. One is you, one is God. Well, all of a sudden, something bad happens, and all of a sudden, you turn around and you see one footprint in the sand. And then you turn around and say, God, where were you when I was going through that? God said, my child, that is my footprints. I was carrying you through it. I just really want to take a moment and just thank God and praise Him for everything. Like in Job 2:10, you're talking about foolish woman, shall we accept God for the good and not the trouble? We need to accept God and see and love Him and seek Him and go for Him no matter what, whether we're going through the good or the bad. Let's talk about a little bit of bad. But in the end, God is there and God is good. Tomorrow is my little sister's second year anniversary, where her appendix was removed. Love you. She could have died, but she didn't. We could have looked around and turned around and asked, God, why? Why did she have to go through this? Why? We just need to look and realize that we need to trust God, and that through every situation, God is there, and He takes anything and turns it for His glory, even if that means allowing Satan to attack Job. Throughout the doom and gloom, we just look at this story and we could just see where God is. And I just want to say right now that it is so amazing when you turn around and go, that's where you were. That's where you were. Thanks. Yeah, I really appreciate for that. After reading week, things got harder. Things kept coming one after the other. And I just kept praying and I kept asking God to just help me through it. Then He sent amazing friends in my life. Friends who, unfortunately, as much as I wanted to, I could not escape. God works in mysterious ways. And I just thank God for each and every one of them. They are just such a blessing in my life. And they are literally answers to my prayer. Because just that we're Christian, or that we're think that we got it with God, but God sends people in your life to be able to help you go through things. Let's just hope and pray that you don't get friends like Job that give you false accusations. And in the end, even though they showed false accusations, God showed Job the truth where he was. And just how we really can't fathom how much and how big God is, Just think the amount of people on this earth. Knowing each and every one of them, each and every future, each and every animal, each and every rock. I can't do God's job. I could never do God's job. I thank him for everything. And I pray that no matter what's going on in your life, that you go down on your knees and worship. Throughout the story of Job, you would think that, oh yes, it's really bad and rough and it sucks because it's unfair, but, well, that's your perspective. Then the question of, is God just, comes into place. God is just. Who are we to sit down and say, well, this person did this, why am I the one suffering for doing that? I'm a Christian, why am I going through things and another person who's not is completely fine? First off, you don't fully know what's going on in the other person's life. So who are you to look at that person and say, that's not fair? Comparisons is dangerous. I learned that real quick. Whenever we just sit there and we compare and we just say, oh, this person is going through something harder, so doesn't matter what I'm going through, or this person is I'm going through something harder, and this person did this, how is that fair? Who are you to question God? And who are we to judge? I learned a lot this past semester. I don't just mean academic-wise. I just mean about myself. Things that I've been just putting aside, shoving down. I just want to say right now, if you're like me and the type of person that just shoves your own problems down and deals with everybody else's and just be like, oh, nothing that I'm going through doesn't matter, don't do that. It's just going to blow up in your face later. God's just going to be like, remember this. Remember that. No matter what we go through, no matter what we go through, good or bad, small or big, we need to turn to him and trust him. We need to turn to him and trust him. And I don't mean the earthly trust where we just, I trust Sarah, I trust Matt. I trust my mom. I trust my dad. I mean like full, utterly trust. That is not easy. It's not. We're humans and we question everything. One thing in Job that I actually realized was whenever he was very contradicted and emotional. He would worship God and then all of a sudden he'd turn around and he'd be not cursing God, just turning around and asking why and was angry, and then he felt bad that he did that. And he asked God for forgiveness. We're not perfect. As much as we want to be, we're not. As much as we try to be, we're not. We're 2018. We can offend anybody with anything. But just because we're in 2018 and we can offend anybody with anything, does that mean we should hide our faith? Job was a righteous man. He was blameless and upright. Lost everything. His wife telling him to curse God and die. Then his friends turning around and telling him, you did this wrong, that's why you're going through this. But in the end, throughout everything, he asked God for forgiveness. And God gave him double of what he had. Not as a reward. Just a gift. We don't fully know if it was a test or anything like that. But there's something in Job that I love so much, is that in the end, he realized just how good and great God is, and how he continually needs to be following him. 2018. We shouldn't hide our faith. No matter how much persecution we're going to get, no matter how much backlash we're going to get, we have a mission as Christians, like I stated before, that is to speak about the Lord, to share his faith and to share his love. To share his love. To share his love. That means to share the love with somebody who hurt you. To share his love with somebody you don't like. To share his love with somebody who judges you. To share his love with somebody who persecutes you. To share his love with somebody you judge. To share his love with somebody you hurt. It's not just about sharing love with people you don't love. Look at yourself. Are you showing God's love? Is there somebody in your life right now that you're mad at? Or you're jealous of? Do you love them? Do you show God's love? 2018, we can offend anybody with anything. And then there's the fear of losing friends. What's more important? Having a friendship on earth or having a friendship in heaven? Back to Job. His friends were doing false accusations, were telling all these things, and then Job turned around and did an offering in the end for asking forgiveness for the sins of his friends. When we pray, we often take the time and we just pray and we thank God for things and we pray for what we need. But do you pray for forgiveness for other people? Job did. In fact, he did it for his whole family before this whole situation happened. Prayer is a very, very powerful thing. Especially when we come together and we pray. In fact, let's do something. There's something that God put on my heart very strongly. So I was hoping that right now we could just come together and we can pray for masters. As we are all students and profs and all that, going to Bible school to study to do something for God, Satan's not happy about it. And he'll target one of us and would start attacking that person. As I mentioned, I believe February 18th, 2018, the first sermon that I did, I stated that when Satan attacks me, he normally attacks the people I love the most around me. He did. But we still came together and we stood strong and prayed for one another, and we were there for each other. A lot of times we feel like we're alone or it's just us and God, but it's not the truth. When we come together as a body of believers and we pray together, it is such a powerful thing. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to bring you masters in college and seminary. I just want to thank you that I get to go to this amazing school, Lord God. But I just want to pray right now, Lord, that you be with each and every student and their families, Lord. As something we all realized was that Satan does not only attack us physically, but the people we love around us. So I just pray a hedge of protection over the students and over their families, Lord, and their loved ones. I just pray that no matter what Satan does, they still push back and fight back, Lord. I pray that we continue coming together and pray and praise you, Lord. You put each and every one of us in this school, Lord, for a reason. And I just want to thank you and praise you for each student, Lord, that is in that school, Lord God. They are just such a blessing and so strong in you, Lord. I want to lift you up the master's staff, Lord. I pray that they continue keeping their eyes on you, Lord. I pray that they don't get blinded, Lord. I pray that they don't get numb to you, Lord. And I pray that every single time they speak and teach or speak into a student's life, Lord, or anybody's life, Lord, that it's your words, Lord, and not theirs. That it's not clouded, Lord. And I just want to thank you and praise you for each and every person through that school, Lord. And I pray a hedge of protection over that school because Satan does not belong in that building whatsoever, Lord. So I pray in Jesus' name for him to get out and never to come back. Amen. We can all associate ourselves with Job. A lot of things go bad. Family member gets sick, financial needs, things like that. But are you going to be Job in the end that turns around and thanks God and praises him for everything? Not because there was a gift in the end, but because you trust and love God. That you know that no matter what happens or what God allows Satan to do, in the end, God has a plan and he's got you. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. People will turn around and say, if God is so good, why is he allowing Satan to do this? Why? That seems to be a very big question around here. Not around here, but like, everywhere. If God allows Satan to do something, obviously he already knows the outcome of it. If God knew that by allowing Satan to do so, to attack you or anything like that, wouldn't be for his glory, do you think he'd allow it to happen? I hope that after this service that we continue or start looking at each other for support, asking one another for prayer, coming together and pray, because that is super powerful. Very extremely powerful. And through everything, to turn around and not curse God. To turn around and praise him. I prayed, when I first started Masters, the first day I prayed because I wanted amazing friends. I wanted friends that were strong in God. That I knew would be there for me. That I knew they would allow me to be there for them. God answered that prayer. If he wouldn't have sent them, I probably would have left Masters. If he wouldn't have sent them to remind me why I was there, I probably wouldn't be standing here right now. Now I get to turn around in Satan's face and laugh. And just laugh. Because God's got me. He will protect me. And he won't ever ever let me fall. And I want you guys to really think and realize and believe it. Because God's got you. He loves you. And he will never let you fall. No matter what happens. God's got you. He loves you. And he will never let you fall. Did you know that God's got you and that he loves you and that he'll never let you fall? Because there is no coincidence in God. Everything happens for a reason, the good and the bad. God is so good. So good. And I want to thank him for the word of God, where we get to read and be able to understand him more and see and be able to apply it to our lives. I love you guys. And I definitely don't want you guys to go through anything that Job went through. Big or small, I may be 4 hours away, but I'm only a phone call away, an email away, a text away. And the more specific you are for prayer, the stronger it is. I want you guys to keep masters, college and seminary, in your heart of prayer. We need it. He's not happy. He really is not happy that we're all there for God and that we're just going to come together and fight a fight that's already been won. Job could have looked at it and seen, for him, Jesus didn't die on the cross yet. So it made it seem like him versus Satan, but God was there. We have the ultimate sacrifice. We're not standing us and Satan because he's under our feet. He has no power. Because if he did, Job would have died. The first attack, he would have been physically attacked. But he didn't because God didn't allow it to happen. God told Satan he couldn't do it, so he couldn't do it. Jesus already fought the battle. It's been won. Accept it and receive it because it's yours for the taking. It's yours for the taking. It's free. Not stating that it would be perfectly easy. Obviously, look at Job. But there's a bigger picture. Having a God that you trust and that loves you so much, that has a plan for you, plans to prosper and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, that he sent his one and only son to die on the cross so that we could be set free. Now that's love. And that's the love I want in my life. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. That's what I have. Life isn't easy, even though we wish it was, but it's not. That's how it is. We have free will. You have the free will to choose a God, the only God that loves you, that will never let you fall, that has Satan on a leash, that sent his one and only son to die for you. Because when Jesus was dangling on that cross, he was thinking of you. He just wants you to come to him and love him and serve him. God is good. And all the time. I'm going to end it here. Not going to ask. You can leave right away if you want, but I was hoping that we could just come together, talk amongst ourselves, just about what's been going on, good or bad, and come together and pray. Because I find, especially on Sundays, we do the prayer in the beginning and the prayer and all that, but this Sunday I want us to come together and lay hands and pray over one another. Just you sitting in this seat, Satan's not happy about it. And he's going to try to fight back. But he's under our feet, not in front of us, not in the back of us, not on the side of us. Not over us, he's under our feet. Because Jesus already won the battle. Now let's receive it and take it and come together as a body of believers and pray. This world is so broken. So broken. What it needs is Jesus. What it needs is for us to take up our cross and go out there and share his love. Not with just other Christians who understand, but with people who don't. I love you guys. I pray as you walk out that door, you've actually received something from this message. I have. Not just to take something from it, but allow it to change you. Allow it to enter your heart. And realize that you're not alone. You got an amazing family here who are there to support you and pray for you and fight for you. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrea. As I look at the word that you just brought us, I believe that God has rewarded you with this word because of the fights and the battles that you are going through. And he's a reward of those who diligently seek him. And so as you diligently seek him, he's rewarding you with the comfort of the word of God and exploding into your heart and giving you the answers for the things that you're facing in your life. So he's rewarded you, and you've shared it with us this morning. And now we're rewarded because we've seen the battles that she's gone through and felt and experienced. And now we have also heard that word of God. And so we've been rewarded by the hand of God as well. So thank you for pouring that into our hearts and our lives. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm just going to ask if Andrew, if you come forward here to the front. I'm going to call upon our board members to come and just lay hands upon Andrea. And are there other students here? Are you a student as well? Come on over here as well. And Matt, come on over. I believe that just because you're not at Bible college, you are in a battle place. And so come on over here and stand nice and close to Andrea. I'd like us to just extend our hands towards them this morning. If there are any other students here this morning, just come and join the group here at the front. But I just really believe that these young lives are in a place where they're facing numerous battles. Number one is always financial. Whenever they go to an institution like that, number one is finances, hoping that it stretches the way. But the stress and the discouragement that falls upon them and the attacks of the enemy, especially for Andrea when she stands up in a ministry for God, I believe there's so many attacks that are coming. I mean, we read quickly the book of Job and understand that it's also a book that shows that the attacks are enumerated, but there's a lot of other attacks as well. Are you a student as well? Come on up and join them along with them. Amen. We know that students go through things and face things. So let's pray. Let's extend your hands toward them. Let's really believe for a miracle for them. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, that you are God. You are over everything. You are in control. You have everything in your hand. The very world, this we're just looking at our world right now. The sun rises, the sun goes down. Lord, you control that. The snow that falls, even though some of us may not like it that much, but it's beautiful. And we thank you, Lord, that it's in your control. Everything is in your control. And God, as we look at the things around us, the creation that you have made, it's under your jurisdiction. And as we come to that very place of understanding, Lord, that none of us is an accident in this world. We're all been born into this world. And Lord, you treasure us. We're precious in your sight. We thank you, Lord, for these who are standing before us today, who are in the realm of being a student. Whatever they learn, however they are learning it, Lord God, we know that the attacks are upon them, Lord, as we've learned from the Word of God, as Andrea so beautifully shared with us, Lord. We understand that these here specifically are going through several attacks, Lord, in many ways, Lord. So we pray over them right now. We're stretching our hands toward them. We're believing for them, Lord, that they're going to make it through. There's nothing that's going to hold them back. Lord, there's a course that you've set for them. You've given them a desire. You've put them in places, oh God, in their lives where they're studying for a particularly future, Lord. So I pray over them right now, Lord, that you would encourage them. Encourage them. Pour into their lives right now. Let the Holy Spirit show them, Lord God, as they get back into the classrooms and the abundant lessons come down upon them and the assignments and all those things that they face, Lord. God, let them look up and understand that Jesus is with them through their studies, through their battles, whatever they face, that you are with them. You walk with them. You talk with them. You show them. You encourage them. Lord, there's nothing greater that we can have. We all have the friends and family, Lord, around us. But in those deep, dark hours, Lord, when there's nobody with us, there you are. You are with them. You are with them, Jesus. You never leave them. You never forsake them. You speak to them in the midnight hours of their time, Lord. So I pray over these students today, Lord, that you would bless them abundantly, Lord. And God, thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon their lives. We're just excited, Lord, for what you're going to do in the days ahead. So we give them to you right now. We pray over them right now, Lord God, and thank you for your presence and be with them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So I encourage you, stay close to Jesus as we finish these last few hours out in 2018, but get ready for 2019. God has got some wonderful things in store for each and every one of us. Do you believe that? God's going to do some great things. Amen. Encourage you this afternoon to come out for the skating if you want to skate or watching, and also tomorrow night at 5 o'clock in our New Year's time together. Let's pray before we go. Father, we pray, Lord God, that you are such a blessing to us as we are here in church. Lord, thank you for the word that we've heard. We've been rewarded with the word, and we thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that perhaps somebody's going through a battle here this morning, maybe more than one person. But God, I pray, Lord, that we've heard the word and now we're holding on to the word. Let that word hold us and keep us, Lord, through everything that we face. As you go, Lord, as we go, Lord, go with us, strengthen us and empower us. Get us ready for a new year. We thank you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you.